our next marathon participant is used to running outside the rules, coloring outside the lines, and saying outside the political correctness exactly what needs to be said. His name is Vinnie Eastwood. He's from New Zealand, which is why he talks funny. And I assume he can't help it. Maybe he can. He has a wonderful radio show, independent radio, called The Vinnie Eastwood Show. And, of course, his website is www.thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. What else would it be? Vinnie is an absolute joy to speak with. He understands how important it is to remember the lighter side of genocide wrapped around deeply serious, powerful information. It's always a pleasure to talk with him, and I'm so glad that he's here with us today. Hello, Vinnie.
Hello, Dr. Rema. Very lovely pleasure to be here and whatnot.
Well, good. I'm most interested in the whatnot.
Indeed, aren't we all?
Yes.
I wanted to actually, I've got a lot of things that I've been putting up about vaccines just of late, because Australia, for those in the audience who don't know, is trying to pass a law, or have already passed a law, I don't know exactly what the update is on that, called No Jab, No Pay. So if you're on a government benefit of any kind and your children aren't vaccinated, they have to be pumped full of vaccines in order for you to continue to get your benefit. So the cost to the average person on this is approximately $15,000 per year per child. Now, what this says to me is that, you know, if you're poor, we'll just pump you full of bioweapons. If you're rich, we'll give you a choice, bro. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's your liberty, it's your rights, it's really important.
You know? It's getting quite insane, isn't it, Vinny?
Well,
it's getting quite insane.
If somebody were to call me sane,
you know,
what was it? Cliff High told me somebody called him insane, and he goes, "Well, thank you." And I go, "Well, why are you thanking me?" He says, "Well, if anybody called me insane in a society like this, I'd be insulted." And that's how bad society truly has become. It's almost like we're being split down the middle. I just had a good little Facebook status this morning. Now, you ever notice how pro-vaccination people, they come out with very little factual evidence when they're trying to convince you that vaccines are safe? They instead just repeat marketing slogans from the vaccine manufacturers and then say we're evil if we don't participate in their bioweapon delivery campaign to save the children. Now, a pro-vaxxer was arguing with me, and he asked, "Do you even know what peer-reviewed means?" And I know I've read this guy's out to you guys before, but it bears repeating. I replied, "Yes, I do know what peer-reviewed means. In point of fact, what it means is that the Rockefeller Foundation, who provide all the drugs made from crude oil waste products, sent a man named Flexner around U.S. medical schools once upon a time in the early 1900s. Flexner ordered all medical schools that didn't meet his quote-unquote standards, i.e. everything that's not drug-based medicine, would be closed. Herbology, reflexology, naturopathy, homeopathy, chiropractic, and basically closed the schools teaching any kind of medical practice other than the I pill for every ill approach. Ever since then, peer review is a way of keeping an inconvenient research being verified. For example, everyone thinks the level 6 biotoxin hydrofluorosilicic acid, aka fluoride, is safe and effective because there are 5,000 peer-reviewed studies on the effects of fluoride on teeth to prove it. But there are very few studies at all that are peer-reviewed of fluoride's effects on the brain, the liver, the bones, the immune system, reproductive organs, the environment, skin, eyes, digestion, or virtually anything that is affected by the ingestion of fluoride. And even though some of these studies do in fact exist and are in fact peer-reviewed, they get ignored, and the people who are pro-fluoride say that they don't exist. So it's just basically lies upon lies upon lies upon mismanagement upon money grubbing upon scumbaggery. All right, that's basically what we're doing here. It's a club sandwich of scumbaggery.
So you're in favor of vaccines?
Oh, totally. And just to tell these people, you know, just if you're pro-vaccine, the likelihood is you've never done any research on it. Like that's about as much as I can really think about. I mean, if you're pro-vaccine, you've either been indoctrinated to believe that vaccines are good, or you just believe what everybody else does and have never done your own research.
Okay? Or you own a patent,
yeah.
Like Paul Offit. Like Paul Offit, who a few days ago, as an MD, managed to make the probably one of the most Olympically horrendous absurdities coming out of someone's mouth in the history of human beings come out of his mouth. He said aluminum is necessary for normal human fetal development. Now, if you mean normal as in unimpaired, this is the craziest crazy. If you mean normal as in dumbed down, high-functioning autistic worker technician, as in Brave New World Deltas, then you're right. But most of the time, we mean unimpaired when we say normal. He has patents. He has conflicts of interest that are larger than all outdoors. And he can say this with having done the research. He knows where his vaccine is buttered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, somebody should just tell him to come off it, you know. The whole point of this is that if you're still pro vaccines, just imagine for one moment that you don't know everything. All right, imagine for a moment that everything you think you know is a lie, and then imagine for a moment that all the crazy people are in fact the sane ones, and that you're the madman. And then imagine for a moment that you're so crazy that you don't know how crazy you are. Then imagine for a moment that this all didn't happen by accident, but in fact, it's the results of a deliberate plan by groups of madmen that are far more insane than you could ever possibly imagine. Now, we had a doctor here in New Zealand come out and speak in favour of vaccines. Now, this guy's in the Reader's Digest. He's number two of the second. He's the second most trusted New Zealander out of their list of the top 100 most trusted New Zealanders. And he's simply a general practitioner. And what he's been saying is that we should do the same thing as Australia here in New Zealand. You should be compelled to vaccinate. And what's Dr. Lance O'Sullivan's problem, I think, is that it's a propaganda piece right here in the New Zealand Herald. How do I know it's a big propaganda piece? Well, here's why. Here's the headline for those of you who want to search up and verify this. Leading GP Lance O'Sullivan, parents compelled to vaccinate. All right, so you can just search up that headline. How can you tell if this article is a propaganda piece for Big Pharma? Number one, the word children is mentioned 25 times. Number two, the word vulnerable is mentioned 6 times. Number three, the word science appears 0 times. The word evidence, 0 times. Studies, 0 times. Plus, at the end of the article, if you want more information, you're supposed to talk to either your pro-vaccination doctor or practice nurse, or failing that, call a pro-vaccination government department. So there's no advice of the risks, there's not even any mention of an ingredient, and there's not even anything that you can point at that says that vaccines are safe, no evidence of any kind. It's just, the vulnerable children, the vulnerable children, the vulnerable children, the vulnerable children, the children are vulnerable, we need to vaccinate them, I got to try. It's crazy, right? And I'm kind of sitting here and I'm like, bro, did you know that a doctor can lose their license if they try to force you to take a medication without your consent? Right? So what this guy's doing, first of all, just even appearing in the article, just expressing that opinion, in my opinion, violates the oath he took to become a doctor. So the second part of me says, and you know, there's two parts to me. There's the happy-go-lucky, happy, funny Vinny Eastwood who just likes to have a good time and not get exterminated. And then there's the other part of me that is the conspiratorial part, which is very suspicious and cynical. And unfortunately, the suspicious, cynical side of me is usually the one who's correct. And so I wonder how much money this guy's getting paid in commission from Big Pharma to sell their poisons and soft-kill bioweapons to unsuspecting victims who believe everything he says, right? Vaccine-pushing doctors have found a way. I don't know how they did it, but they found a way to make being a douche and being irresponsible a part of their fiduciary responsibilities. Yeah, I'm just sick of people asking to see all the evidence that led to my conclusions, which took me like 6+ years to wrap my head around. It's like, if you want to research into vaccines, go start researching. And if you want to know the truth about vaccines, you have to be determined to do your own research. It won't be served up on a silver platter for the lazy, half-witted, half-assed people who rely on authority every day to tell them what to think or what to believe. These people are claiming, the vaccine manufacturers claiming, that it was the vaccines and the vaccines alone that virtually wiped out all the dangerous diseases that we just no longer suffer from today. Whereas the facts state that vaccines started being used about the same time when all these diseases were already at the vanishing point. To believe vaccines were solely responsible for getting rid of the diseases that we used to suffer from, you'd have to ignore every single 20th and 21st century discovery that affected the spread or severity of disease, including any and all advances in medicine, sanitation, diet, food preparation, packaging and transport, nutrition, technology, education, vitamins, soap, disinfectants. I mean, did you really believe live viruses, foreign and animal DNA, mixed with heavy metals injected directly into the bloodstream, were effective at combating disease? Does this make any sense? Like, oh, hey, we got all these toxic chemicals that we got over here. What do we do with them? Well, we can't dump them because that's illegal. You know, they're poisons, they're toxins. Oh, okay. Well, what if we just, instead of like dumping them and then getting people contaminated their water supply and their food and everything, they'll be really effed off about that. Why don't we just inject it directly into their freaking bloodstream and give them autoimmune diseases and thorough autism so that they're so compliant and their brains have been so badly damaged that they can't even come bring us to court to sue us for bloody poisoning them. Oh, bro. Oh, that's a brilliant scheme. It's a brilliant scheme. And there's this massive propaganda campaign, right? And nobody should ever hear the word propaganda without hearing the words Edward Bernays. Edward Bernays. Go and look this guy up. He is literally the man who wrote the book called Propaganda. He's the birthplace of it all. He's the reason why we've got all the advertising the way that we do now, which implies on our desires and manipulates us. He's the one who invented product placement, and he's the nephew of Sigmund Freud. I saw this meme one time. It's like a pro-vaccination people, and it says, if anti-vaxxers were consistent, okay, and they've got all these fake quotes, they're just making up. Don't give me an anesthetic during my surgery. It's made by Big Pharma. Don't give me adrenaline during my heart attack. Big Pharma just want to make money. I won't have antibiotics for my pneumonia. They're not 100% safe. Don't give my child Ventolin for his asthma attack. You can't trust Big Pharma. Don't give my grandmother's morphine on her deathbed because, you know, Big Pharma. Well, here's the thing. They talk about anti-vaxxers as if we're just crazy people, that we're afraid terribly. And in so doing, that fear has destroyed our brains. We can't think. We can't apply yardsticks, different yardsticks, rather, to other things. And so they assume that they understand us when they've never researched us, never talked to us, and if they have talked to us, never listened and never read any of the research that we find them. So who's got a better opinion of who here? Okay? Now, in terms of the vaccine propaganda, I asked a nurse once, and she'd been giving vaccines to people for 30+ years. I said, so, can you name me one ingredient? And a blank stare came over her face. She's been promoting their use and telling people who don't that they're crazy and dangerous and uninformed. And in all those years, never once asked for a list of ingredients.
Well, so, if she actually read the ingredients, she might be responsible for what she's doing.
She couldn't possibly continue doing. She couldn't possibly continue promoting it if she knew what was in there, because reality does not support this kind of delusion for most people. Well, of course, unless
Unfortunately,
unless they have
you can
a financial interest.
Well, you can give them the information, and unfortunately, it depends upon how ingrained the propaganda is into their face. You know, it's like you told me, it takes statistically 7 people to tell you the same thing that's contrary to your popularly held beliefs before you'll consider changing them. And I may have been the first or the third or second or whatever, but certainly not the 7th. But I did let her know anyway. There's a live virus in the vaccines to prevent you getting the virus. Yes, I know that sounds real logical. And also there's thimerosal as a preservative, which is 50% mercury, which is the world's strongest neurotoxin. Now, there has been a vagary in this thing where they say, oh, well, they don't add mercury at the end anymore. Really? Then why do they still use it in the manufacturing process and not filter it off if it's so freaking dangerous and you want to convince people that it's not in there anymore? Hmm? They're just playing little word games and that kind of thing, and people are dying and having terrible, terrible syndromes developing that some people have never even seen before as a result of these psychopathic frickin' scum and the moronic frickin' scum that follow everything that these frickin' scum say. Now, in addition to that, there's oil and water adjuvants, which were experimented on during the first Gulf War, and now everybody came home with Gulf War syndrome. You know, you gotta love that. I mean, Gulf War syndrome, it doesn't sound that bad. How bad could it possibly be? You know, what's the worst that could happen? And lastly, in terms of the ingredients, which I found, which was probably the most horrific of them, was aborted fetal cells, which is cells containing foreign DNA from aborted babies who've had their organs harvested and viruses grown on them. So it's another human being's DNA being injected directly into your bloodstream. And then people go, oh, well, I wonder why these autoimmune diseases are happening. Because it's the body's natural reaction, you know? And choosing not to take vaccines has nothing to do with Big Pharma making money off of it per se. It has to do with them being found to be both ineffective and dangerous. End of story. There's no proof that I have seen so far that wasn't used as a propaganda piece or something that was later found out to be a lie that vaccines are safe or effective. It's just that black and white. And on top of this, we have other New Zealand vaccination problems and stories and propaganda pieces. Like, we have this one out of 3 News, which is the largest private media corporation, which advertises GlaxoSmithKline and a number of other big pharma on their nice little channels there. It says, parents urged to vaccinate against chickenpox. The mother of a boy maimed as a result of getting chickenpox is urging other parents to immunize their children against the disease. And they got a boy with chickenpox all over him and one and a couple of like really bad, nasty, scratchy pops on his back. Okay? Now, is the boy dead? No. Have vaccines been known to kill small children directly after being injected with them? Or even just waiting a couple of hours to find them dead in their cradle? Why, yes, they have. So, here's something that's really, really much more important than preventing your child's death. Preventing them from having a childhood disease, which everybody has, get over with, and virtually kills nobody. Mm-hmm. You know? When it comes to pushing bioweapons like vaccines, and let's not mince words here, they're soft-kill bioweapons. Alright? Now, in order to get somebody convinced that taking a soft kill bioweapon and injecting it into their child is a good idea, they like to use words that appeal to people's emotions. Okay, they go, somebody please think of the children. I mean, because after all, who could argue with it with an approach like that? Okay, you don't want to kill kids, do you? It's a great way of shutting down any possible rational debate, and it makes anyone who opposes indoctrinated brainwashing thinking look like a demon. And that's basically the long and the short of it. They don't want to have a debate. And people, here's the thing. They often accuse you, the pro-vaxxers do, they will accuse anti-vaxxers of doing the exact same thing that they're doing. Okay, like they'll say, you're doing it for the money. Really? I'm doing it for the money. What's the most profitable bunch of corporations in the entire history of the world that make more money than virtually any other profitable company combined? Big Pharma.
Might that be the pharmaceutical industry?
You don't say. All right, you know, it's like, I've looked at both sides of the debate, And one side's full of crap, and one side's full of truth. Okay, let me just explain this. We'll compare them. This will take a little bit of time to compare. Okay, so the pro-vaccine side has billions of dollars to spend on marketing. The other side has no money. The vaccine side has effective control over the FDA and the AMA and the US government. The other side refuse to administer treatments if they don't know what the ingredients are. The pro-vaxxers get caught lying all the time. The other side have scientific evidence from trials verified by third parties with no financial stake in the results. The pro-vaccine side sells products directly to consumers. The other side gets sued all the time by the pharmaceutical companies, just for telling them not to buy them. The pro-vaxxers pay doctors bonuses for the more product they sell. And the other side get their practices raided and shut down by people with guns. The pro-vaccine side justify product safety with tiny medical trials without control groups. And the other side have their medical licenses revoked. The pro-vaccine side got sued so much that the US government passed a law making it illegal to sue them for vaccine reactions. And the other side submit research findings directly to government officials who don't look at them. Now, that's how the debate works. Now, in terms of how rebutting and debunking works, there's another set of principal guidelines here as well. Pro-vaccinations, they rebut their detractors with name-calling, repeating marketing slogans, appealing to people's emotions and fears, refusing to look at any contrary evidence, and they also use obfuscated statistics from medical trials with no third-party oversight. Whereas the anti-vaccination people tend to rebut their detractors by asking to see direct evidence of their claims, reviewing evidence submitted and replying to it on a line-by-line basis, suggesting other more effective methods of combating disease, attempting to reason with them, and showing research and studies that contradict their claims. Now, that's both sides of the debate. Now, who do you think is telling the truth? It seems pretty obvious to anyone who isn't under some form of mind control. And let me just dumb that down for everybody. How do you know you're under mind control? If you've never questioned whether or not you're under mind control, then you're probably under it. All right? It's really that simple.
I would say that's Vinnie Eastwood's law, and it should be graven on the walls of every school.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Yeah, and I think that what happens is this indoctrination starts very, very, very early. I mean, first of all, you're getting indoctrinated with the exact same things your parents believe from birth. Then you get indoctrinated with everything your government wants you to believe from about the age of 5 or 6 when you start going to school. And you continue within that indoctrination program for like a virtual minimum of 10 years, but if, for those who drop out early, or even longer and even double the period for those of which you go into medical school and other things. So the likelihood from birth to the end of one's schooling that you will wake up gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller as time goes on. It's almost like it's being burrowed deep into your brain, okay? Like underwritten programming that actually controls the entire system of your current thinking paradigm. And the longer you're in it, the worse the programming gets. However, it doesn't mean that anybody who goes through this process is impossible to wake up. After all, everybody who's currently awake to the reality of vaccines went through a mind control indoctrination program of some kind, whether that be medical school, high school, elementary school, or watching television for more than 6 to 8 hours a day. These kind of things can be reversed. If it is possible to program people into thinking a particular way, then it surely must be possible to deprogram them. Now, they will get angry if you disagree with them because you're not up against a person. You're up against a marketing slogan, okay? Marketing slogans don't feel offended. When you tell them that their marketing is BS, they simply keep repeating their marketing slogan to somebody else who will sell what they're buying. Okay? I know. I used to be in sales. I used to go and have a look at all the other people around me see them hang up the phones on somebody who didn't buy what they were selling, pick it up, and then hope that the next person who picks up that phone will listen to them this time. And that's the same thing that we're going on here. It has zero to do with health. It has zero to do with public awareness. It has zero to do with intelligence. It has zero to do with science, evidence, or studies. It is all about two things primarily: killing people and getting away with it, and making money off of it. Period. And at least in my cynical conspiracy theorist opinion, which, as I said before, is usually, unfortunately, the part of my personality that's correct. Thank you.
Vinny, what about the killing people part? Oh, surely no, the government has no interest. Surely no, it's all about just the money. What about the killing part, Vinny?
Well, anybody who's looked at history knows that the biggest killer, the thing that's more likely to kill you than anything else, is your own government. Your own government will exterminate people and has done so since the beginning of human civilization, and they will continue to do so. It's just that the methodology by which they exterminate people changes. Now, ever since the century of self, again going back to Edward Bernays, governments have decided that it's much, much easier to kill people if you don't tell them that you're killing them. Because they don't react. They don't go, oh my God, he's trying to kill us or anything. They said that they're trying to save us. That's what everybody's argument will be. No, the government would never do that. I mean, and secondly, what's the leading cause of death after people's own governments? Currently, today, if you look at the statistics, the American Medical Association is the number one killer in America. They kill on average one person every 60 or 70 seconds or more. Like tens of thousands of people. They kill more people than any other cause of death in the United States. The number one cause of death outside of that is suicide now in the United States. Guess what happens to all of those people who are committing suicide? They're on antidepressants, which has on the printout sheet,
"May cause suicide."
So it's like, bro, I'm feeling a little bit unhappy because my husband left me because I cheated on him and I was being a bit of a slapper, and I'm feeling really bad. Can you, and instead of me actually having to deal with my emotional problems and actually get over it or something, can you just give me some really, really hearty drug or something that'll make me, like, I don't know, act out my nightmares and drown all five of my children in a bathtub while I'm asleep? You know, that would be great. I think it's so bad that it's getting difficult for me to make jokes about it. And for me, that's quite a difficult thing. Quite a difficult position to get into, where a subject is bad enough that it can't be made light of. I'll try anyway, but it seems to me that we are confronted by an extraordinary system that is completely unprecedented. The only thing that I could probably compare it to is the Catholic Church at the time of the Inquisition. Nobody expected it, and yet here it is.
Well, you know, I think I wish I could disagree with and contend with at least one thing that you said. I can't. I think you're absolutely correct, and I think you've analyzed it brilliantly. And I think that the programming is brilliant, absolutely, utterly, mind-bogglingly brilliant. But because of that brilliance, and because it's led the controllers to be so arrogant because they think nobody can escape their programming, paradoxically, it becomes easier to see the flaws in the logic and the programming once your eyes are open. And this marathon is not only for the awakened, it's for the awakening. It's for the folks who are uncomfortable but know that they need more information, because the truth is irresistibly attractive, even when it's very difficult. So, you know, by making light of it, First of all, you make it bearable. And second of all, in some very important ways, you help to make it audible. These are tough, tough things to hear, especially at the beginning of hearing them. And many, many people are just beginning to hear them, to see through the intentionally laid fog.
Well, imagine if you're one of the unemployed people in Australia because their economy's tanking big time, and then the government just passes a law that's saying your unvaccinated child, who you specifically don't vaccinate because you know that vaccines are soft-kill bioweapons, you have to vaccinate your child, otherwise you have to slowly watch them starve to death because you can't feed them because we're going to cut off your money supply. Think about the stress.
This is why I've been calling a forced vaccination a crime against humanity. It is precisely that sort of choice that parents are being faced with, which is the equivalent of what was being done in Europe during the Second World War, which resulted in the Nuremberg Code, the hanging of the Nazi doctors, and of course the Geneva Declaration of Medical Ethics. It is very clear that it is unethical for any physician to or nurse to put a needle into an unwilling person's body.
I want to make
that act is a war crime, or at least it's a crime against humanity, to be more precise.
Absolutely. I want to make the point that the war crime is unconscious by the low-level war criminal, but it is a war crime nonetheless. I was just following orders, just doesn't cut it. For the people above, we have their own statements that it is a crime against humanity because they wish, and they say that they wish, to have less humanity that they'll have to be burdened committing crimes against. This is important. People overlook and sort of turn away from the official pronouncements of the very criminals, the WHO, the United Nations, the U.S. government, who say, now we have to get serious about reducing the population. Bill Gates, who famously said, you know, if we do a really good job, we can knock the population with vaccines down 12 to 15%. Yeah, cool, baby. And people say, well, vaccines are safe and effective, and my government wouldn't hurt me. And the reason they say that is because the programming is so brilliantly successful, but it doesn't have to be. How many people are beginning to say, I'm not sure about that? How many people say, well, my neighbor has an autistic kid. I knew the kid before the vaccine, and then I saw what happened after. I don't want that to happen to my kid. Or they say, I vaccinated my child. Look what happened. And what people need to understand, too, is that we're not just talking about kids, because the adult vaccine schedules are next. They're coming your way to a police station near you.
Yeah, and it'll all be under color of law. Oh, you must get a vaccine or something like that. So basically nobody will have a choice. The laws and the physics are kind of in place. And by physics, I mean they can physically just force anybody to do anything these days. I mean, look at how many guns they have. Look at how many morons and uniforms that they have. Look at how many ex-veterans who are used to kicking down doors and killing children point-blank range with a round to the face that they're now employing into the police force. And look at how many people are being exterminated on the streets, particularly black Americans, every single day by these thug
cops.
In the
month of March.
Yeah.
And by the way, I hope that folks are following me on Twitter at DrRimaLaiBow, at Dr. Rima, because I put out an enormous amount of information there. Today I tweeted a most horrifying statistic. In the month of March 2015, police in the United States killed more people, more civilians, than the entire number of people murdered by the police under any circumstances in the UK since 1900.
Now, I wanted to actually get back to this because it bears in the historical context, right? I had somebody commenting on a on a post today saying that, oh, you remember four generations ago, big families and children all dying off due to viruses? And I go, well, bro, first of all, you don't remember what it was like four generations ago because you weren't born. Right? You know, I'm just nitpicking here. And number two, babies back in the day died of all sorts of reasons, and I doubt every gravestone in the 1800s says, quote, died of a virus that could have been prevented by pumping their blood up with another virus, you know? Number three, without sanitation, soap, C-sections, or pediatrics, no baby had a guarantee of survival. And number four, people think we live longer today because the life expectancy was 40-ish back in the day. Well, that's actually a lie, an obfuscation of statistics. If you take the high birth death rate, so if you take the babies that died early, and then you use that to subvert the statistics, then everyone appears to die early. The fact is, if you did survive childhood, you lived almost as long as we do today. Again, just sit back and imagine that everything you've been told is a lie.
And you did so, Vinny, without degenerative diseases. Cancer was almost unheard of. Heart disease was almost unheard of. Chronic degenerative diseases like diabetes were very rare. Certainly nobody under the age of 35 or so ever had diabetes. So the health hazards, once you lived past the dangers of poor sanitation and inadequate food, the health hazards didn't seem to be destroying people's lives. Macular degeneration was almost unknown, not because doctors didn't know that that part of the eye could degenerate and cause blindness, but because it was pretty rare. I will tell again the story that I've said. When I was in medical school, before my graduation in 1970, if a child had any kind of cancer whatsoever, any kind of cancer, then the entire medical student and resident body was brought in to see the kid, to actually gawk at what this looked like, unless the child had one particular kind of cancer called Wilms' tumor, which was known. That's how rare childhood cancer was. According to the World Health Organization, a misnamed organization, according to the World Health Organization, by the middle of this present century, one out of two children will either have had cancer and survived it or have had cancer and succumbed to it. That's how common childhood cancer has become. I graduated from medical school within living memory, 1970.
Now, also, I wanted to make a point. One of the arguments is that, these vaccine reactions, you know, like autism and everything, the reason why the rates are going through the roof is because we've just got better testing methodologies. We can find it. We can see it now. And there was a great meme on it, and it says, well, if that's the case, where are all the 30 and 40-year-olds walking around with adult diapers and reading difficulties?
All right. Indeed.
Why isn't 50% of the population like that?
Precisely.
You're telling me the curve, if you measure this, the curve is such that no reputable scientist would believe that it's anything other than an artifact of some toxin.
No, it's genetic. Within the last 20 or 30 years, the genes of the human population have changed dramatically, which brings exactly. Yeah. Precisely.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's the horse drawing the cart and not the other way around. It's the vaccines that have altered people's genetics and destroyed them and caused all the diseases. Yeah.
So that brings us to one of the points of vaccination, which is not just to make you ill downstream and make money for the pharmaceutical industry, but to actually alter your genetic makeup. To actually create a different kind of human being, a more docile one, a more compliant one, a less intelligent one, and vaccines are being used. The first person who credibly pointed this out to us was Dr. Paul G. King. Vaccines are being used, he believes, intentionally to alter the genome and alter the characteristics of human beings. And then it goes a little deeper than that, and we're talking about literally changing. Some people are pointing to very, very scary evidence about the introduction of a third strand of DNA through the combined action of chemtrails and vaccines to create another kind of, let's say, formerly human being.
A hybrid.
Through the vaccine program.
The perfect Delta worker drone.
The perfect Delta worker drone.
Probably unable to reproduce. Certainly unable to have independent thought, as Bertram Russell said famously, right, Dr. Rima? The time will come when through injunction, injection, and nutrition, no one will be capable of an independent thought. That's the promise, if you will, of Brave New World.
No, what he said was actually, he didn't say no one will be capable. He said the ordinary man.
He wasn't ordinary, right? Right. The elite believe they are going to be somehow protected. Here's the point, Vinny, at the program when we have to give a special announcement. You will appreciate. Dear members of the NSA who are listening to us today, first of all, we thank you. We have spent decades trying to get the governing authorities to listen to us, and now there's this whole agency that just takes down what we say and reports it. It's just gorgeous. Thank you. But do you think, Mr. NSA guy, that your family is going to be exempt from the Great Culling? What do you think, Vinny?
I think they're actually going to be among the first families to be exterminated. The lessons of history that I've seen is when dictatorships or any kind of authoritarian fascist body takes control, it is the people that were involved in the seizure of power who are the first to be exterminated by the government, namely because they're the ones who know how the government got set up and could bring it down.
And for another reason, and because the government knows that these people are opportunistic and have no loyalty because they betrayed their prior social system.
You are going to be used and then killed, and your family along with you. It's just that simple. So here's the thing. Do you want to die? Do you want to watch your children be exterminated in some kind of camp? Okay, no? Well, then maybe you should be thinking about doing the direct opposite of your job. Not listening to people and reporting to the government, but listening to the government and reporting it to the people.
Precisely. Beautifully said, Vinny. Beautifully said. I have a pleasant fantasy that out there among the NSA guys and their ilk, somebody is actually saying, "Holy crap, Fred, you know, they got a point."
Let's hope. And hope springs eternal. And I think it was Cliff High, and I keep using this analogy because it's like, it's probably the best analogy that I've ever heard about any topic for any reason. Humanity is like a spring, not like a mechanical spring where you push it down and then it just kind of resists and then pops the hand back up and becomes free or whatever. Humanity is more like a water spring. When you push us down, what happens is we start spurting out in all different directions, and we start burrowing through rock and places that you don't even think, and we pop up somewhere else. Doesn't matter how hard you try to suppress humanity, we will always find a way. And even if that's not the truth, it's a good idea to believe that particular lie, because giving yourself hope in a hopeless situation is actually one of the real tactics you need for victory.
Well, indeed. I would say if it's a meaningless hope, then it's just another lie, another programming, this one induced by you or your religion or whatever. But indeed, that turns out to be the exact truth. What you've said is how humanity survives as long as the genes of humanity are not turned into subhumanity. We've never had to contend with that situation. We don't know how much springing we can do, or how much spring-like, how spring-like we can be if our genes are ripped from us. It was General Burt, the president of the Natural Solutions Foundation, who realized that the human genome was being weaponized along with the planet, weaponized against our survival as full humans. Now, that's very important, and vaccines are a major, major tool in that transhuman change that we're supposed to accept and willingly and pay tax on, allowing ourselves and our children to be exposed to. Not hardly likely, not me.
The antithesis to fear is hope. Fear stops Indeed. You from thinking, so don't be afraid. Be hopeful, and then maybe one day your efforts, and you didn't stop yourself from making the effort because you weren't afraid to continue or afraid that somebody might judge you poorly or something of that nature. Because you're not afraid, because you're full of hope, that is the only way you can succeed. The people who are afraid stop themselves from even trying in the first place.
And they want us to be afraid. They want us to be afraid of them. They want us to be afraid of our own knowledge of ourselves. This doesn't feel good to me to fill myself or my child with poison. I think I'll follow my own instinct. Well, mother, what do you know? Mother knows quite a lot, actually. They want us to be totally dependent on their delivered wisdom. And that's a really bad way to confront threats.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I think we're running to the end of this show here with me today. So I'd just like to give people one last final word of advice. Don't believe what you're told straight away the first time you've heard it, whether that be from a alternative media, mainstream media, the government, or some alternative health practice school. Don't believe what you're told without checking and verifying it. And specifically, don't repeat the things that you've heard on and on to other people without verifying it. Because ultimately, the truth is often very, very grey indeed. It's not very black and white, and it is difficult to find out what's real and what's not. That's why there's such a big war going on between every single ideology you can think of, whether you're a left-winger, a right-winger, a Muslim or a Christian, a pro-vaccination or anti-vaccination. Everybody's indoctrinated to think one way or the other, to hate one group of people or the other, and that's because they don't know what the hell they are talking about.
And that is absolutely powerful wisdom from Vinnie Eastwood. Thank you for being here from New Zealand on the Vaccine Truth May Day Marathon. We indeed have a May Day situation, and I really appreciate your participation, your wisdom, and your lively mind. The Vinnie Eastwood Show on
American Freedom Radio
is well worth your time, folks. Thank you, Vinny.
And just remember, folks, just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinny Eastwood Show. The only thing worse than Vinny's jokes is the truth.
Thank you, Vinny. On to the next guest.